This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. It's Friday, Bart Scott.
Get on the lines early.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, because you know what? It is Friday. Do you want to open up the buffet?
Let's open up the buffet.
Oh, let's just open it up, right?
Because I missed our breakfast buffet, so I apologize for that. I couldn't find my damn wallet.
I need a ruling here, by the way, everybody listening right now, everybody watching. I need to understand this. So when Bart fills in on KJZ in the morning, there's a two-hour break between shows, and I feel bad as a teammate. And I'm like, I can't be sleeping in at home while Bart's getting up at 4 a.m. Like, yes. I should be a teammate.
Yes.
So I always say, this is what I'm going to do. I text him, and I tell him, all right, I'll meet you at the diner. We have our diner. I'll meet you at the diner. We'll have breakfast together. I'll spend that time. So I'll get up a little bit earlier, and I'll get into the city earlier than I need to, just so you aren't sitting alone by yourself. So, okay. So this morning, I filled in on KJZ because Bart had to be on Get Up, and he's a big star. So they put him on Get Up, and they said, can you fill in on KJZ? Yeah, I said, sure. So I did that, and then I texted Bart, and I said, I'll see you at the diner. And then I'm looking for the three dots for the response. Nothing. And then I call him.
You call me?
Write the voicemail. Yeah, see, how about that?
I probably was in a trash can moving dog poop out the way because I thought I threw my wallet in a trash can.
First of all, again, at Barton Hahn, how lame was that excuse? What he just gave you right now, I lost my wallet. How lame is that excuse? Because I bought breakfast yesterday for him. That's one. Two. Yeah, and I'm putting it out there. Two, picture me at the diner like SpongeBob by himself, head down. That was pretty much me.
You went jellyfish catching by yourself. Listen, man. Alan, you know I was ready to come in, man. I wanted some pancakes so bad,
Some pancakes.
But I couldn't find my wallet, and I had to move dog poop out the way.
That sounds so
lame. It was
lame.
Like little bags of dog poop, and then I thought the tire place took my wallet, and you know, you say, hey, did you find my wallet? They're like,
Nobody believes this.
I'm like, come on, man.
Nobody believes this.
And then I'm sorry, Mavis. Because I was like, you know what? Somebody there probably stole my wallet.
You know how you start blaming the poor guys at Mavis Tire?
You know how you'd be like, yeah, you ain't seen no wallet. You cleaned up yourself yesterday. You the first one. Yeah, whatever.
Where'd you get that watch?
Right. Then I'm trying to figure out like if somebody went through my accounts. And then guess where it was? It was in the netting part of my book bag. Because I had on skinny tight jeans yesterday, so I couldn't put my wallet in my pocket. So I put it in the side of my net where I never put it.
Yeah. Okay. So again, at Barton Hahn, how lame is Bart's excuse, or is he just trying to just avoid me? Like, let's just be honest. That's what this was about. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You are a bad teammate, Bart, is the hashtag today. We will get it's time for Straight Talk, Bart, by Straight Talk Wireless. So I want you to assess the latest now with the NFL draft, which again, next week, and it's your show. I mean, I can't wait for next week because I'm just going to say hi, and then you are taking over because of all the draft prep you're doing. We talk so much about the quarterbacks, but it's the first non-quarterback to come off the board that now everybody wants to know about. And that guy that everybody believes is the most talented non-quarterback player, or maybe even the most talented player in the draft, but just so happens to not be a quarterback, and that's Kyle Pitts from Florida. And everybody does admit that this is a luxury you'd love to have, a great tight end. They think he's got Hall of Fame potential. That's how good he is. He's mentioned in the Kelce and Kittle and Gronkowski. Those levels. That's what they're saying. That's how good this guy can be. I know you laugh at it, but that's what they're saying.
No, it's funny because none of those guys were picked very high in the first round.
Which is what I'm trying to get to. So with that in mind, of course, when you're in the top 10, generally a tight end is not like your first and most important need. But that doesn't mean there aren't teams that are looking at it saying, boy, we could use a guy like that. And one of those people, believe it or not, that really sounds like he's in full-bloom love, right? That's actually absolutely over the moon, is Jerry Jones. Listen to this conversation.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm excited to have you come into this league. And, man, what a pair up we could do with old Dak Prescott. Some of those guys that we've got out there of options to get you the ball. So we can dream of visions of sugar plums around here.
I want some
visions
sugar plum.
Sugar plum.
I never had a sugar plum.
So he's talking there, but just so everybody knows, this is on the Cowboys Twitter, and that's Jerry Jones, of course, talking to Kyle Pitts and the visions of sugar plums.
Yeah.
Now, Bart, the Dallas Cowboys have an offense that before Dak was injured was prolific. by far the best in the league. Mm-hmm. Their defense, I'll use an industry term, sucked.
Exactly.
Like, bad.
That's really technical, right?
I went technical. I know. I hope everybody can keep up. They need to get better on defense. They will have that opportunity with a highly rated cornerback, right, in Patrick Surtain that could be there at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So with all that in mind, why on God's earth would they think that adding a tight end is the right thing to do with the number 10 pick? When also, if you're going to go offense, you probably want to look at that offensive line and get depth, and you could have, there's obviously a highly rated offensive lineman, or two actually, that could be there for you at 10. Are you buying this? Is this a smokescreen? What is this about with Kyle Pitts and the Cowboys?
Listen, Jerry Jones have been talked out of some bad picks before. Johnny Manziel, just in recent history. This isn't one of them. I think if Jerry wants to see what Kyle Pitts looks like on his Dallas Cowboys, he's looking not only for good football players, he's looking for stars. And this guy has the potential to be a star. So as I've been doing my prep and going through and looking at tape and watching people, I'm looking that Kyle Pitts is the most dynamic player in this draft, not because he's the best offensive talent, and not that because he has the potential to put up the most numbers. It's because he's one of one. It's because when you go down and you look at the list of tight ends, it's not one other like him. It's not a big receiver that's like him.
There's no big receivers. We talked about that yesterday.
Right. When you look at the offensive line position, man, there's so much depth. I mean, it's depth up and down. It's like almost like they're breeding offensive tackles now.
Are they tackles or are they guards, though? Because there's a lot of guys who are listed as tackles that the experts are saying will probably end up being guards, though, when they get into the league.
No, for me, it's tackles, right? And remember, it's a lot of people that opted out. So, you know, we can add the kid from Stanford to the list, because he's been often hurt, but he was the number one guy coming out of high school when Sewell came out, when all these other guys came out. So it is a lot of talented tackles in this game, and it's a lot of depth at cornerback. I'm talking about you can go second, third round, get you a good corner. Man, let's not even talk about the running backs. We're not even going to start thinking about them to the third, because you can get one later. So when you talk about how can I get me a weapon that nobody else has or nobody else can have, maybe outside of the Oakland Raiders,
mm-hmm.
It's Kyle Pitts. And, you know, when you talk about, okay, well, they need defense. Okay, well, it's a kid named, Adobe. He's a corner that opted out last year from Stanford. Mm-hmm. Right? This is why you have to do your due diligence. This is why we're talking about all the guys this year and how important scouting departments is going to be. He ran a 4.44. He's 6'1", 198 pounds. Ball hawk. And guess what? He's from Stanford. The same place where Richard Sherman was from, and he's got the similar body type, similar speed, similar range. He may not be quick twitch, but neither is Sherman. Sherman wasn't quick twitch. He's a long, rangy guy. Well, so if you look at Dan Quinn, you're saying, Dan Quinn, you're going to earn your money. Because, listen, when you look at – unlike anybody else, when I look at the personnel of the Dallas Cowboys, I look at great personnel. I would argue that the personnel – on the defensive line, linebackers, and even secondary is better than Kansas City. Nobody's saying Kansas City. Why do you have Harmon, Sammy Watkins, Kelsey, Cheetah, Charles Edwards-Helaire? Nobody's saying that, right? That's cool. Mm-hmm. We see that they win, and they win a lot of games that way with a great tight end, two or three great receivers, and a great running back, and a great tight end. So why wouldn't Dallas want to do the same thing? Especially when you think they have two Pro Bowl caliber linebackers in Vander Esch and Jaylen Brown.
Right.
They drafted a corner last year in the first round in Trayvon Diggs.
Right.
So how about going out and get something that nobody can get and something that you may not see for a long time? And that's going out to get the tight end, because, like I said, you can go get the corner in the second round. Jerry World and Jerry Jones have 10 picks. They have 2 threes, 2 fours, and 2 sixes. So they can go out and move up. And I would give – listen, it's not going to cost you anything this year to go get Kyle Pitts. It's going to cost you maybe a 1 and maybe a 4 next year to move up, I believe, 5 spots. And if I'm Cincinnati, you need a lot. You don't need just like, okay.
You need offensive line. You need offensive line help.
And you need receivers. Sure. It's plenty of receivers.
You want to keep upgrading skill around Joe Burrow, too.
So if you can get a first round from next year, so now you have two first round draft picks, you still can get Slater. You still can get Christian Darrisaw, who I believe is one of the most polished pass protectors in the game. They already have the tight end Williams, I believe, the tackle from Williams already. So listen.
All right.
Jerry's not as crazy as people think.
Well, no, it is interesting. And by the way, the corner you're mentioning from Stanford is Paulson Adebo.
Adebo, yeah.
Right, yeah, Paulson Adebo. And that is somebody that could be a great
I can't read Swahili.
No, that's okay. No, I wanted to clarify it because you said look him up, so I did. And so let's also bring in Matt Miller, who certainly would know Paulson Adebo and everybody else that's in the draft. And he joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. And if I didn't already, let's call this Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Matt, how you doing? What do you think of Bart's explanation, if you heard it, on why it's not crazy for Jerry Jones and the Cowboys to try to, even if it is, move up to get Kyle Pitts?
It's not crazy. Not at all. And I've been saying that for like a month. Every time they allow me to come on these airwaves and on the network, I'm saying Kyle Pitts is an elite prospect. He's the best non-quarterback in this class. And they asked me last week, hey, who's the one guy in 10 years that could be, all pro? We're talking about who's the best player from this class. It's Kyle Pitts. And that's no disrespect to Trevor Lawrence, but quarterback is, it's like a 50% bust rate being conservative.
Wow.
It might be 60%
yeah,
bust rate.
Right.
So, like if I had to say, all right, I have to put my reputation on one player in this class being great, I'm going to pick Kyle Pitts. And so for the Dallas Cowboys, we've heard for weeks that Jerry Jones is infatuated with this player. He wants this player. Now, they're going to have to go up to 4 to get him. That's the part of it, of team-building philosophy. Do you trade from 10 to 4, which is probably going to cost you a future first-round pick, to get a quote-unquote tight end? He's not a tight end, in my opinion. He is an offensive weapon. Yep. He could play inline. He could play in the H-back spot. He could play in the slot. He could play split out wide like he did against Alabama. So I see Kyle Pitts as a truly transcendent player. And if you have Dak Prescott, a good offensive line, you got CeeDee Lamb last year, Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. Yeah, because the NFL right now is about scoring points. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about that. And I think it does. It puts them over the top. And, yeah, they need corners. Absolutely. But you got Dan Quinn, who you guys were talking about. Guess what Dan Quinn was great at? Taking day three corners and making them really good. Yeah. Brandon Browner and Richard Sherman were not first-round picks at all. So let the guy do what that Seattle defense does. Even the Niners, Robert Saleh. They were using Richard Sherman, who's no one else wanted because he's getting older, and Akilah Witherspoon, who's not that good, and they were in the third quarter they had to lead in the Super Bowl. You don't need Patrick Surtain in that defense. He'd be nice to have, but you don't need him to run that defense.
To your point, they already brought in Trayvon Diggs, but guess what? He brought in an old friend. He brought in an old faithful in Keanu Neal, who people don't realize was Jamal Adams before Jamal Adams was Jamal Adams. And he had a knee injury and an Achilles injury. He is the human hit stick. People trying to run the ball on them now with Jalen Smith, Van Der Esch, and now Keanu Neal coming down in the box, rotating like Cam Chancellor, is going to go to sleep. So people don't realize that. It's not that Dallas didn't have talent on defense, because I think if Randy Gregory can keep his nose clean, and then you think about Lawrence on the other side, they can get value. It's a lot of depth at the defensive tackle position, too. I mean, I know they lost Gerald McCoy, but they can stop the run. All they need is a big plugger in the middle. They have their all-pro pass rusher. So, I mean, where's their personnel worse than that of the Kansas City Chiefs? I don't see it.
I'm with you. And I think the thing that, like, we get so caught up in the draft, right? I mean, I have a career surrounding these 3 days in April. But we forget that it's 3 days. We forget that there are rounds 2 through 7 when a guy like Trayvon Diggs is a second-round pick, where it's not just like, oh, we didn't get a corner or a D-tackle in the first round, we're going to suck next year. You can get a defensive tackle in round 2. You can get an edge rusher in round 3. So I think so many teams, not just Dallas fans who are great, so many teams have this like go for broke mentality that if you don't fill that need in the first round, you haven't filled it. And roster construction in the NFL right now would tell you that is not the truth. Look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look at that secondary. Antoine Winfield Jr., not a first round pick. Jamel Dean, not a first round pick. Sean Murphy Bunting, not a first round pick. Like, you can build one hell of a defense and not have to use, it's not 11 first rounders out there.
We're talking with Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Bart Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. So, I want to ask you about Dave Gettleman and some comments he made yesterday as the Giants with, I think, pick 11. And he has traded up, but he's never traded back. And he said there's a reason why, because he doesn't want to get fleeced. And Matt, I mean, you know, you analyze a lot of drafts, you watch a lot of drafts. Like when you hear somebody say that, my first inkling, you can tell me if I'm wrong, is that you don't sound very confident in yourself in making a deal if you feel like you're going to get fleeced trading back. So I don't like that message, even if he was just messing with the media. But is this a draft when you look at the Giants and where they are, is this a draft where maybe they could and get some draft assets, trade back?
Yeah, when I read that quote on Twitter, my first thought was scared money don't make money.
Well done.
So, like, you can't be afraid to move around, you know? And so I think with Dave Gettleman, someone who he probably reads the press clippings too much of when he got let go in Carolina and he resurfaced in New York. And here's the thing that I'll say about Dave Gettleman. I have not liked his picks, but they've been good picks. So he needs to spend less time listening to us and just do his job. Because last year, I thought Andrew Thomas was the third best tackle in the draft. They took him number four overall, and he played very well. You know, even you could look at Dexter Lawrence. We laughed about that pick of like, why are you going to have Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence? Oh, wait, they're good. They're really good together. And so I think that, like, that's the key. Yeah, you don't want to get fleeced, but you also don't want to overdraft, which I think they did with Daniel Jones, who the jury's still out on him. But I feel like they overdrafted him, or they probably could have moved down. So it's tough to be a GM who's afraid to move, especially when you get that reputation of being afraid to move. You know, in the Saquon Barkley draft in 2018, there were teams calling for that number two pick to get a quarterback. The New York Jets were rumored to be one of them who wanted the number two pick. They could have traded back to number six overall, probably still got Saquon Barkley that year. So you fall into that risk of you might love a guy and be afraid to miss out on him. But there are 259 picks in this draft. So there are still quality players outside of the guy that you've identified.
Oh, man, who's underneath? Where does the draft start, right? We think and assume that it starts at three. But four seems like the money spot right now, whether you want to get that quarterback that falls or if you want to get that that shiny diamond in the rough like we're talking about Kyle Pitts. So how active do you anticipate Atlanta to be, and what would it take them to move out of that fourth spot?
Yeah, I think the key is, Bart, somebody has to be willing to – like, so for someone to come up, Atlanta has to be comfortable moving back that far. And the teams that need a quarterback – we're talking about the Denver Broncos at 9 overall, the New England Patriots at 15 overall, the Washington football team at 19, Chicago at 20. Are you comfortable moving from 9 to 20? That's a lot of players coming off the board. And this is not a top-heavy draft. There are probably 15 true first-rounders in this draft. So you wouldn't feel great about that. And so I think that's the thing for Atlanta moving back that far is, do you want to do that? Do you want to drop down 5 spots or 15 spots and still feel like you're getting a good player, especially for a first-time general manager and head coach? That's a big jump to make. So I do think the draft starts at four, because I feel 99% sure who the Niners are going to take. And even if it's not Mac Jones, it's Trey Lance. So we know it's a quarterback, right? So the intrigue of the draft, I think the first time that I'll be sitting there wondering what's going to happen is at number four overall.
Matt, great to talk to you, my man. Good stuff as always.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks for not calling me crazy. No, crazy like a fox.
It's amazing. You guys agreed on that one, and Matt feels like you. He's that guy, like the tree falling in the woods. I've been saying this, and people thought, and now you guys are brothers in law arms. So if it happens next week, you guys can both celebrate. That's Matt Miller. He joined us on the Goodyear Hotline. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on your calls, and we've already got tons of them, so we'll get to those coming up next. It's a Friday, so we'll go buffet, but obviously the topics we're discussing certainly at the main part of the conversation. Coming up next, you know how you know certain people are a tourist? It's like they speak, and you're like, yeah, you don't really know who you are, do you, right? Robert Saleh, the new head coach of the Jets. I love him. He sounded like a tourist yesterday. I will explain.
He got I Love New York t-shirt on.
Well, not even that. It's just he sounded like a tourist.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Alan Hall, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app, your smart speaker. We're presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. So getting some tweets, Bart.
Tweet, tweet.
Marco said, Bart's trying to avoid you. Took him forever. Oh, I won't go far. I won't go there. Matt Gaffney said, dog ate my homework, lame. This is about Bart this morning decided not to meet me for breakfast, as I often do for him when he does the morning show. And he claims that he couldn't find his wallet, which I felt like, just tell me you didn't want to meet
me. How often do I lose my wallet?
Exactly.
You let, hold on.
Exactly.
Mister, I lost my sunglasses yesterday?
It was after the show. We already had breakfast. I left them there
because
I had breakfast with you.
So I'm only allowed to lose stuff be after breakfast?
Yes.
Okay.
Not as an excuse. All right? Not as an excuse.
Okay.
Yeah, people are calling this lame. Another guy
apologize,
said,
man.
The next dog ate my homework, LMAO.
Next two breakfasts on me.
That's if you show up. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll grab some calls here in a moment. But first, here's Robert Saleh, new head coach of the Jets, sounding like a tourist, mainly because he's talking about his situation with the Jets and the potential of having a rookie quarterback and just saying how there's no risk there. There's no pressure. Wait. There's no pressure, but there is pressure. And Bart, look, and first of all, for the record, everybody knows I'm a Jets fan, and everybody knows I'm actually stoked for Robert Saleh as head coach. I've heard all great things about him. We interviewed him. I mean, I think he's, you know, I'm really excited about what he's going to bring, right? A lot of energy and a lot of that stuff. So it's tongue-in-cheek and just having fun with him when I say he sounds like a tourist. But you're the head coach of the Jets.
Yep.
You're going to have a rookie quarterback. To say there's no pressure means, yeah, you're a tourist. You don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you're in New York. There was pressure the minute you took the job. Like, well, I to say also that no risk with the young. Yeah, there absolutely is, because we just had one and they ruined him.
Well, what do you expect him to say? I'm scared. I'm scared out of my pants.
No, just say, yeah, there's pressure. We've got to do a good job. We know what we got to do, and we plan on doing it. We expect to do it.
He don't want
to
project. I hear you. Listen, you don't know until you know, right? You don't know until, like, listen, this is the only place that I've got booed at.
He might be
at
the guy that wanted Sam, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is the only place that I've got booed at, or I've heard the team get booed, and we're winning. Like, I'm like, yo, we getting booed and we winning. And we going into halftime like, why?
You were winning the game and you
we're
got booed?
We're winning the game and we're getting booed.
Why are we getting booed? What happened?
Because Mark wasn't playing well. But we're winning. But we're getting booed.
We were reaching that point, though. I'll let you know what was happening there.
It was like, how the hell are you booing us?
We were reaching that point with a honeymoon with Mark.
Yeah, but when you boo.
And we're like, we should be up by a lot more than this.
But when you booing the whole team. We don't know if you specific.
You know
unless
who
y'all
we're
say,
going.
If y'all don't want to listen, if you want to be specific, you got to say, Mark, you suck. Mark, you suck.
Come
don't
on.
Say boo.
You're telling
the whole
me that
damn
you're
squad.
On the sideline and you're watching an offense sputter where your defense was so good back then
we're
that
winning.
The offense, all they had to do was just get some points and we're going to win this game. And because they were sputtering, and you're going to tell me that I wonder who they're booing. You know exactly who they were booing.
But when they're booing, you think that's going to help him or it's going to make him put his head down?
Well, that's
so
that
a cheer
well,
because guess what? The other team was like, we got him just where we want him. If we just stop the dip, we come out and we get an interception, they'll start booing the whole squad and the whole squad will go down. You were helping the other team out. They thought they were the damn home team.
Well, that's not
he'll
how it's
find
supposed
out.
To work.
He'll find out.
We test your toughness.
He'll find
how
out.
How do you respond when we let you know that we're not happy?
He'll find out.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go with Rob in Iowa, who has a question. Rob?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. I just was going to ask Bart. I've got this idea of the NFL is getting so top-heavy with the quarterbacks and with the defensive ends. Why isn't there a reason that the NFL can't put something together to where – you get one person from the offense and one person from the defense that don't count for the cap so that you have enough room to
You've build been listening
the team
to
around.
Alan Hahn. You've been listening
Rob?
To Alan Hahn about the tax exemption,
Rob
which would
smart.
Be the franchise quarterback.
Yes. Rob, that's a fantastic take.
But
I will take it a step further, though. Thank you, Rob, for that call. I still hate the NFL salary cap. I hate everything about it. I think it's a dumb structure. It doesn't make any sense. fans can't follow it either.
It just gives the small market teams the opportunity to compete because we all got the equal percentage of pie to be able to split up. Now, we can't control where your team is located, but we can control how much money you have to spend. So you have to do your due diligence.
I still don't get it. You are punishing a team for drafting well because now I draft a lot of good players. I can't keep them all because I have a cap. And I got to pay them what they're worth market value.
Right. You can't keep them
all. So I got to get rid of some guys. I got to cut some guys. I got to make some guys unhappy.
Yes.
Why do I want to cut guys that I just picked and I did a good job picking them? I built a nice team.
I
got to break it up. I can't have nice things.
You have 5 years to win with them. If you can't win with them in 5 years.
Because you have a draft every couple of years.
Yeah, but you have 5 years. You draft somebody and you find a gem, you have 5 years before you have to pay him. So that allows you to go out and reward you for doing a good job. Because guess what you can do? You don't have to draft good players.
You understand that.
Now you can go out and buy them because you're saying, hey, I have money. I can buy them now, and I know this guy can play, opposed to me projecting that I can draft somebody and he can play.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
But that's why you get rewarded when you find a quarterback.
You get rewarded for losing. Get rewarded for losing.
How'd that work out?
Draft picks.
Well, how'd that work out for Cleveland now? Are we happy that Cleveland finally figured it out? Are we happy that Buffalo, a small market team that can't get free agents, finally can get free agents because they found Josh Allen because they had a high draft pick?
Yeah.
So we've talked. Are we happy that maybe, just maybe, maybe Jacksonville won't suck and now people can cheer for them and their fans can be a little bit happy too?
But you always have this idea of a window because we're going to have to pay. And it just sounds so negative. We're going to have to pay them. And you know what that, like even Baker. But what's going to happen in Cleveland when they have to pay Baker?
Well, that mean they can't. That mean they can't get three starting receivers and two starting tight ends. That mean they have to find one and win with one, so somebody else can take one.
But why do you get punished? I found my quarterback of the future, but now that I got to pay him this insane rate that now quarterbacks are being paid. Now I got to cut from somewhere else on my team.
So you can't stack up. I mean, really?
Why?
Really, do we really want Kansas City to be able to go get, because everybody go play with Patrick Mahomes. Do we really want people to go over to play? Do we want to see like what's happening in basketball? People in the buyout market. Hey, let me get Aldridge and Griffin. Oh, that'd be great. I'm sure that's a great competitive advantage.
I don't understand.
Like, so now you got guys that's top heavy and people gonna go to the popular place. So now this allows the popular place to rotate. How often have we ever seen Tampa be a place, a destination where people are running to. Hey, I want to play with you. I want to play with them. Right. They can
do that. They're taking less to do that, though. They're taking less.
My point.
Right.
But they're doing that because they don't have to pay their quarterback.
You understand. You like
teams. And Tristan Wirfs don't cost no money.
I don't want to belabor this.
Tristan Wirfs don't cost no money. That's why.
I'm going to leave it with that. Right. And going into a draft, you have to draft a player that eventually you're going to have to pay him too. I don't want to belabor it. I'm just going to finish it with this. I just don't understand how I have a quarterback and suddenly, like, now I got to play him because I only have 5 years and I got to have a decision. I got to know by the fourth year or else I got the fifth year option. Like, that's so stupid. I'm now accelerating a development process at a position that is so important that maybe some guys aren't ready in the first 3 years. Maybe it's going to take Sam Darnold a couple, but I can't afford to wait on Sam because of the fifth year option. And then I got to get him an extension.
You can wait 2 years.
And that's going to cost me and it's going to hurt me against my cap.
No, you don't. You can franchise tag him twice.
Right.
And you can have him for seven years.
Yeah. And how much is the franchise tag?
It's not top dollar.
It's still a ton of money that is impacting my cap, and I can't. While with a quarterback that I'm not sure about yet, now I got to throw him.
But you can own his rights for 7 years.
Again, I feel like I'm belaboring this.
So if you ain't figured out if your guy's a franchise guy in 7 years, then guess what? He's not.
Well, Rob in Iowa gets it. Let's see if Jackson in Maine gets it. Jackson.
Hey, so you guys are talking about the salary cap. What if the NFL implemented like a bird rights structure like the NBA does?
I like it. See, Jackson gets it too. I think you need this. Thank you, Jackson. I think you need this. At least have something. There's a franchise tag. Well, why can't the franchise tag also be like a cap exemption or a soft cap where there's certain players that you can designate that then you go over the cap, but you still pay a luxury tax to do it?
So what about?
So you're still having revenue sharing, but I'm not penalized because I want to keep my player. And I want to pay him the going rate, but I also don't want it to impact that I have to now make bad decisions on talent that I put around him.
So what about
how do you build the championship?
So we're just gonna make the quarterback his own person then. He's his own team.
Well, no, you don't have to.
He's his own team.
You could designate anybody. I didn't say just a quarterback is one example. I could do it with my edge rusher. I could do it with whoever I want. Darrell Revis, you could have done it with, and that wouldn't have impacted some things.
Why could you pay Darrell? Because you weren't paying Mark.
Yes, that's right.
Because you drafted okay.
Right. Yeah, you drafted him. And then what happened? What happened?
He got stepped on the shoulder in a meaningless
game.
Well,
no, I'm talking about Mark, right, right. But you understand what I'm trying to say?
I know what you're trying to say. I understand what you're trying to say. But
like
a quarterback,
the Dak Prescott thing, it becomes an ugly situation with your locker room, with your team.
Well,
but you know, well, that guy's got to get paid, so somebody's getting cut.
How about the quarterback take less to keep some of his good teammates and quit being so damn selfish? How about instead of taking 40, you take 30?
Hey, Bart, how about you take less? What would you answer to that?
That's what Tom Brady did.
Bart, would you take less?
That's what Tim Duncan did.
Bart, you know what? To keep
I restructured my contract so we can get Nazi after a while. And we didn't even get him. And they didn't even get my money back. So I have taken less.
Just your attempt to pronounce that name
made me
just back off this whole conversation. Because I was going to throw a whole other scenario out there, but that was too funny, so let's leave it at that. All right, we'll continue with the calls and the conversation. Like I said, it's a Friday, so it's going to be dealer's choice.
Yeah, whatever.
Player's choice, whatever you want to call it. It's Barton Hunt, Alan Bart Scott, coming to you live from Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. What do we have coming up? Because we have more discussions. That's right. Anthony Davis returns for the Lakers. You know, the Knicks have been off for 2 days. It almost feels like the league shut down.
Like no, You better talk some LA. You've been pegged as a homer. We got to share the love. Bert, I don't call him Anthony. I call him Bert.
You get Anthony Davis back. LeBron Bert, though, might not be back until at least like a week before the playoffs. But still,
so question of the day: who's more important, James Harden coming back to the Nets or LeBron coming back to the Lakers?
I think that's an easy answer, don't you?
Yeah, James Harden.
No.
So it's not
you
so
think
easy.
It's James Harden?
James Harden is
more
the key.
Important to come back?
James Harden. If James Harden comes back with the Nets, then the Lakers don't have a chance.
Bart and Han.
We're losing too many of our great ones, man.
Yeah.
Our great ones, man.
Shock G.
You know how long it was?
Also known as
you know how long
Humpty
it
Hump?
Was? You know how long it was before I knew that he was both people? My sister's looking at me like I was an idiot. I didn't know. I thought Humpty was I saw because that's before
now,
you really saw them right next to each other.
Play.
Yeah, but they was right next to each other on Digital Underground on this song.
I once got busy in a Burger King
bathroom.
Yeah.
I know All Around the World sang song.
They were
both next to each other.
Yeah.
And he came down. So I'm a kid. I don't know. I still believe in damn Easter Bunny. I mean, it is still Easter Bunny.
Now, you know Round and Round with Tupac?
Yeah.
Right? And that's Shock G with Tupac.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great lines of all time in hip hop.
Here I go.
The one who put the satin on you.
Yeah, man. Man, rest in peace, man.
Yeah,
first DMX,
57
not Shock
old,
G.
We learned this yesterday, and it is for our generation.
Then a young man that died from Kentucky, man. It's been a sad week, man.
That's a story, too, and you know.
That's
it's
tough.
Terrence Clark, right, from Kentucky.
Yeah, I lost a teammate in college, man. I never really.
Car accident.
He was in
L.A. working out, getting ready for the draft.
You never really recover from that when you lose a teammate, man.
No. Like, No, that is definitely a tragedy, and one that, you know, just the minute you read it, you're sickened by it, of course. There's no way to easily transition, but we will. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want you to tune in to a National League East battle tomorrow as Bart's Mets, who just got swept by the Cubs.
Don't be hate. They still,
what does that
they
taste
was
like?
They was in first place.
Pete Alonso.
Oh, because your little Yankees finally won a game.
Host the Nationals. Coverage begins at 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Bart says that of the players returning, that James Harden, that's more important for him to return to the Nets than LeBron James' return to the Lakers.
Yep.
You firmly believe that?
I believe that if James Harden is healthy, assuming that KD is healthy, right? They both got two wounded superstars.
Yep.
That if the Nets are healthy and the Lakers are healthy, that James Harden is going to be the difference in a championship. Not LeBron. Is going to be the fact that James Harden, the point four, whatever you want to call him, I am the captain now.
Mm.
He's the glue. I think he's the difference. I think he makes them better than the Lakers.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. LeBron might not be back until at least like the last five games or so, they're saying now. You know, plus showing the injury right now when he injured a high ankle sprain, and there's no reason to rush him back certainly either. But we have calls. We called it a buffet day, so let's get some calls going around the world of sports. And right now, John is in Oklahoma. John?
Hey, guys. How is it?
Good.
Hey, I'd like to chime in on the James Harden thing. I think James Harden, I agree with Bart, he is the glue. And if you have him And KD, like KD and Kyrie can compete with anybody on any given night. But if you just add that third man and it's James Harden, who's considered an X factor in the league, I think that gives you a heads up. But I also wanted to say that I'm a Patriots fan, and I hope we do trade up. But if we don't, I would like for us to draft Micah Parsons at 15 from Penn State. He reminds me a little bit of a more athletic Rob Ninkovich.
Well, what do you think of that, Bart?
Well,
Thank you, John.
He's not that tall. I think he's more of a stand-up, more like an Anthony Barr. He's more of a blitzer. He's not a guy that's going to put his hand in the dirt. You got Van Noy that came back. Hightower is a guy that can drop down. So if you get a guy like Parsons, I think you'll put Parsons in the box. You'll drop Hightower, who's like 260, 6'4", down on the edge as your outside linebacker slash rush linebacker. And you'll bring Van Noy where he's always at.
All right. I mean, the Harden-LeBron argument we can certainly carry over into the next segment. We also have calls coming up, and we're hoping for a special guest as well. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.